episode 729 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and apparently we should be glad that trips to China don't wind up the way they do on TV.
Yeah, we all should be glad. I am in particular very glad, but yes, we are back and we are ready to talk about 2 weeks worth of episodic discussion, and a couple of interesting things happened during these 2 weeks that I'm sure we're going to get into in great detail. But first, before we do any of that, Edmund, if you could give your usual disclaimer.
Absolutely. When we talk about these things, especially when there isn't much to talk about, we just might mention just about anything that actually happened on these episodes. So if for some reason you've been off on vacation or obsessed with the Olympics or for any other reason have not actually watched these shows, you'll be spoiled.
That's right, that's right. And, well, we are going to be getting into, as I said, 2 different weeks here. And this one goes back a couple weeks, and there were literally only 5 episodes. So, that being the case, we're not going to have a top 3 and a bottom 3, as they would overlap. We're not even going to have a top 2 and a bottom 2. We're going to have a top episode and a bottom episode. So, we're going to start, as we usually do, at the bottom. But I do want to mention that this particular week, those 5 episodes were really close together in terms of score.
Yes.
Extremely so. Less than a point between the top and the bottom. So, these were all episodes that were essentially above average. But something has to give. Something has to be at the top and something has to be at the bottom. So, applied a few different tiebreakers in order to figure out which was the top episode. But there we are. The bottom episode, however, was pretty much a given in terms of the scores. Coming in at a not low at all 7.67, we have Dark Matter, Season 2, Episode 6. We should have seen this coming. Desperate for money, the Raza crew follows Nyx's lead on an op, only to discover that their target is a personal one. And this one came in, as I said, an average of 7.67. And I actually didn't have a whole lot to say about this one. But I don't know, Edmund, how about you? You gave it an average rating, which was certainly different from Gary. It's too bad he couldn't be here to explain why he liked it so much. But why did you feel like this was an average episode?
Well, I kind of it's my ongoing issue with the show. So we've introduced these new characters from the prison and brought Nyx in, they're certainly try spinning out these deeper conspiracies and corporate or institutional stuff that's going on. I'm still having the same issue of you're trying to spin out all of this plot, and you're still not bringing in little bits and pieces about these characters, but there's still sort of that fundamental problem at the heart of the show of all of their personalities are sort of up in the air and are apparently different from the way they were before, and you haven't really given us enough to really grab onto with these new characters that they have in place. So it's this show that it's nice to have this little block back on sci-fi sci Friday night, but with this show it's still not quite working for me, even though obviously it is apparently working better for Gary.
Which is why I was hoping he would be here, because I don't have a whole lot more to say beyond what you just did. I agree with it. Clearly he doesn't. But I really feel as though it could come down to simply how much do you like the world that's being created, and how much do you like the characters that are being introduced. But to me, like you said, they had a whole bunch of characters. They really didn't define them that well. And so the second season, what they've done is they've doubled down on that, because I really don't know all that much about these new characters.
Yes.
At least not that much that keeps me deeply engaged. So there we are with Dark Matter.
Yeah, and as we're discussing, what's problematic is more that what details are getting filled in are feeling extremely generic. There's Hacker Girl, there's conflicted cop, there's apparently badass criminals in their previous life that maybe have some redeeming features, but it's still not. Just not that compelling.
Yeah, not that compelling is the right way to put it. Yeah, well, that brings us then to our top show for the week, which perhaps appropriately enough yes. is it's Friday is Dark Matter's Friday Night Neighbor. Killjoys coming in at the top with an average of 8.5. This is Killjoys Season 2, Episode 6, I Love Lucy. Dutch's search for the mysterious green plasma puts the team at the mercy of an eccentric galactic collector. And yeah, we all gave this one some pretty high marks. Even Gary gave this one higher marks than he did Dark Matter, so that tells you a little bit there. But I gave this one high marks and even a half point just for that musical interlude that they had at the middle of the episode where Dutch was singing. And I was like, more please, because that was amazing. Really, this whole episode just was working on all cylinders as far as I could tell.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I was the low man on the totem pole, but just by fractions. I mean, I was giving it the 8, I guess, because I was certainly some of the sort of additional background they're filling in on Dutch. I enjoy, but something about the sort of trope of the collector having to outwit him, I was finding slightly generic, but still for this show, you know, it's still the character of the collector, Molly might have seemed familiar, was still more interesting than most of the stuff I see on Dark Matter. So I think it was a classic case of Killjoys doing something that seemed that may have been a little bit by the book, but still doing it in interesting ways.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about the collector, and I did feel like that was, especially after Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah,
it felt like a bit quote-unquote derivative. At the same time, I feel like they pretty much hung a lampshade on that right off the bat, and it was hard not to at least give them some credit for the fact that they knew what they were doing, and they did it with a big smile on their face. And then they really took things at the end and kind of punched you in the gut.
Yes.
So that's always going to get you some credit if you do it well, and I feel like they did. So let's see here. Killjoys and Dark Matter, as we often note, on opposite ends of the spectrum. Once again. All right. Also coming in at a bit of a tie for number one, we had Outcast. Season 1, Episode 9, Close to Home. Kyle goes looking for Allison. Megan gets shocking news, and Anderson turns a bad situation into a worse one. And yeah, that's putting it mildly. It was a pretty dark episode to begin with, and then the last 5 minutes happened. And oh boy, that was some really disturbing and amazing stuff. Definitely the kind of thing that you expect in the penultimate episode of a Kirkman show. Things got really gory and nasty after really being mostly psychological for a while, but it was pretty well established in terms of plot turn that this was where things were going to go, so I really appreciated that. And yeah, it just was some pretty visceral stuff. So this one came in at 8.5, and definitely a great show. Also coming in at 8.5 is Stranger Things, Season 1, Episode 4, The Body. Joyce refuses to believe Will has died and tries to connect with him. Also, the boys give Eleven a makeover, and Nancy and Jonathan form a surprising alliance. And yeah, this was a show or an episode that had quite a few interesting revelations as the mystery at the center of the story deepens. And I really feel like this was the strongest episode up to that point. It being kind of the midpoint of the season, that made a lot of sense. So, yeah, two episodes of shows that are really hitting all cylinders as far as I'm concerned. That brings us to the last show for this particular week that we're talking about, and that would be Mr. Robot, Season 2, Episode 8, Logic Bomb. Elliot friends Ray, who he hopes can help delete Mr. Robot. Dom makes a major discovery, and Darlene questions whether the FBI or Dark Army is the biggest threat, or bigger threat, rather. And this one came in at an average of 8. I kind of like seeing this all from the FBI side of things as Elliot continues to go way deep.
Yes.
To say the least.
Deep into the dark net, indeed.
Yes, yes. What were your thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, this I kind of felt like certainly the way this was building. I mean, both on the Elliot side of things, and on the Grace Gummer Dom FBI side of things, was really building up these new threads that they've been establishing, and not tying them off, but sort of bringing them to this this rather shocking reveal at the end. Those twin threads of Elliot sort of realizing that he's gotten himself into something he was actually really trying to avoid, and paying the consequences for it, and then on the flip side, I mean, that the whole trip to China and the sort of dissonance between the tete-a-tete with B.D. Wong as we now know the Chinese head of security, and then that attack at the end was it really felt like it was kind of bringing all these preliminary threads to a head, and then just leaving you on this wrenching moment of how are both of them going to get out of and deal with this new twist in the situation?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are kind of evolving into some pretty crazy and nasty ways. Certainly the end of this episode just puts him in severe distress. And how is that going to play itself out? We know, of course, because we're going to talk about it in the next segment. But yes, this is definitely, I feel like this season has been a little uneven to start with. But that may be because it is so internal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult to tell a story that's so inward focused without it feeling a little bit off. Because, of course, if there are cards that you need to play, you've got to hold back a bit. And whenever your story is so psychologically internal and you have to hold back, the audience does, at least on some level, start to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I've been this season. I've enjoyed it, that's for sure. It's always been towards the top of our list. I'm just feeling like, they're finally getting around to moving the pieces around the board. Probably a really good analogy given some of the other things that have happened.
Yeah, but
metaphorically, but
oh, absolutely, but certainly, I mean, this creative decision to take this apparently world changing event that happened at the end of the first season and completely not deal with it head on and just be dealing with it kind of more in terms of how these key players have been reacting to it or not reacting to it or trying to hide away from it. It has made it a fascinating journey at the beginning of the season, very much inside people's heads, and I kind of feel like not just in the obvious Elliot senses as well, but you've kind of been seeing how with a lot of the main characters how they've been compartmentalizing and trying to deal with the big hack, it's been an interesting journey, but it's nice to have some things starting to play out and become a little bit clearer anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. It's now, at least, it's starting to feel that way. All right. That is it then for that particular week, and we can move on to the next week here. And that means that we have a couple more episodes, but I still am only going to have a top episode and a bottom episode. As we continue with only 6 episodes this particular week. So let's see. Starting off at the bottom of our list with a very familiar score.
Yes.
Familiar in so many ways. Dark Matter, Season 2, Episode 7. She's one of them now. And unfortunately, they didn't provide an episode recap for this one. So we'll just go to the score again, 6.67. So not a horrible episode by any means. It's pretty much on par with the previous week. So, approaching above average, but still not quite getting there. It does feel like, though, that they are finally kind of moving the story forward this season, now that we're deep into it. I mean, we're past the halfway point, so it's about time. But We now have the war with the corporations really kind of gearing up a little more again. And I'm guessing you're going to say pretty much the same thing, because I think our numbers are, well, we thought around the same. Mm-hmm. And really, Gary wasn't that different. So.
Yeah, yeah, and I believe you may have misspoken slightly. I think you said 6.67. It was 7.67. So
yes, 7.67. Yes. Sorry, yes. I don't want to unnecessarily drop it.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the things I found odd about this episode, basically it got the extra half point for me was in them bringing in this blink drive and this whole sort of alternate universe situation. But at the same time, bringing in again this a very very standard science fiction thing. I mean, especially in the last 10 years or so, since Fringe. One of the problems is when you do one of these alternate universe scenarios, except you haven't been really establishing your base characters. So, yes, you have different versions of them, but it's not really resonating as well as it could have been. So, yes, the fact that they pulled off an alternate Raza story decently well, I was giving them credit for, but it was still pointing out some of the just what I call core issues with the show once again.
Hmm. Yeah, there are core issues, but I do want to point out or at least emphasize to the listeners that, again, these two episodes have probably been better scored than what we've had previously this season. We've really been pointing out these deficiencies, but it does seem that they're at least trying to address some of them, even if some of them are fundamentally just seems like part and parcel of their philosophy in terms of the character development anyway.
Yes.
But they are trying to introduce story elements that are getting us to care a little bit more, I guess, mm-hmm. because the scores are going up. So worth mentioning that. So two solid scores for the last 2 weeks, even if they were at the bottom, unfortunately. All right. And that means that we can turn our attention to the top of the list, which is at an average of 9, Mr. Robot, Season 2, Episode 6, Master Slave. Mr. Robot tries to show Elliot that he can be useful, and Darlene and Angela's plan doesn't go as hoped. That's putting it mildly, and boy, was this episode exactly what I guess I was kind of leading a little bit last time.
Yes.
Because, yes, things do get way crazy, but they also really start to come into focus.
Yeah, certainly the whole concept of, even down to slapping it back into a 4-3 ratio of opening with Elliot stuck in an 80s parody sitcom was a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure it was a lot of fun for the cast and crew to put together. How they dug up that old puppet of Alf, I do not know.
If you had any doubt that this was an NBC Universal yes. network, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the this whole battle between Elliot and Mr. Robot, putting it into this sort of new context, and Mr. Robot he really is just trying to help in the best way he knows how, sometimes you do just need to escape a little bit, especially when you just had a beat down from the guy who's sitting right next to your bed.
Yeah. the first half of this episode, for those who may not be familiar, and I mean, we did give the spoiler warning, and I hope that you, if you watch this show, you're caught up, because whoa, was essentially just one long 80s style sitcom. So Mr. Robot as an 80s sitcom.
Yes.
Except all the characters were just as twisted and screwed up as they are, and even worse, actually, than they are in the actual show. And the entire time, Elliot pretty much knows that he is, that things are not the way that they should be, that he's stuck in the middle of this show. And yet, very quickly you realize that this is, as the recap said, Mr. Robot trying to help Elliot get his fractured brain back together. And to help him deal with certain things, especially since he's gotten the ever-loving crap kicked out of him. and he's just trying to reconcile a lot of things. And yeah, it starts off in this weirdly surreal, just messed up 80s world. And by the end of the episode, you realize exactly why it is that Elliot's brain went in so deep into psychosis. And yeah, this is a pretty amazing show episode just on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was the emphasis outside of all of that on Angela and Darlene, which I've been kind of wondering where Angela's been going all season long. And this episode really seemed to finally bring it into focus for me. How about you, Edmund?
Yeah, certainly the, you know, as I was mentioning in terms of the last episode, I mean, where it's been how has everybody dealt with the shock to that F Society applied, and certainly it you know, there was the strong intimation that Angela was perfectly happy to sell out and be part of E Corp, but this is certainly then finally turning that around and you using her as the vector to hack into the FBI investigation, I thought the way they built up the tension during that was rather well done. I mean, you know, they certainly had the original hacking operations back in season one, but the additional thing here of trying to get her up to speed in all of 24 hours, emphasizing a little bit that yes, we're always showing these these master hackers just sort of ripping stuff off without a false step, and can be a little more difficult than that, especially when the FBI agent shows up at your cubicle at the wrong time.
At the almost predictably wrong time.
Yes.
Oh, what's that? The last line you got to put in, mm-hmm. And she just comes right up. Hey, oh, let's talk.
Oh, you're on a call. Yes. I hate it when that happens. Yeah, so do we.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what a way to leave the episode, too. Just everything just coming together in this really fabulous way in terms of hooking you in and making you really want to see where things go next. And that's kind of what I was saying last episode, was that these two together really in an important way kind of take that what was kind of a very as I said before, internal exploration, and make it something a lot more what's the word I'm looking for? I guess urgent, mm-hmm. is one way to put it. And I think that we're finally seeing in this episode a little bit more of what you were saying about how they've been soft selling the effects of the market crash. And now we're starting to see more and more of that, the effects, how deep it goes. We're seeing little indications on, you know, news segments and such.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is the kind of thing that I believe a few weeks ago I was talking about, how I was kind of disappointed that they weren't showing us things like that. And now they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of get that sense of the real world is starting to seep back in, on Elliot in particular, but even among the other main characters, it's kind of like that effect that actually I think they may have even used it on this show during the attack in China, but when you have the infamous the bomb going off or the flash grenade going off and you get the high-pitched whine on the sound on the soundtrack just to show that everybody's kind of blasted out of it, and I kind of get the sense that the first four or five episodes of Mr. Robot was everybody's still sort of shaking off the effects of that blast, and now it's starting to come back into focus again.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm sure that these guys have some other surprises up their sleeves as we go along here. They definitely are starting to weave the story together a little bit more in the way that we maybe expect them to. So that's why I have a lot of confidence in it.
Yes, definitely.
All right. That means that next we have, also tied for first place, but didn't have quite as many votes, so it didn't get the top spot, was Outcast Season 1, Episode 10, This Little Light. In the season one finale, Kyle and Anderson search Rome for a surprise perpetrator while Sydney clarifies his intentions. Oh boy, so many things just went completely haywire in this finale. Easily the best episode of the series. It's really good as a season finale. It brings a few things to a head. It expands the world in some big ways. And yeah, this would be one of those situations where if this was the end of the series, I'd be pretty upset because they really ramped things up here at the end, and I really want to see another season of this show. It has not disappointed across the board, and anyone who is into this kind of psychologically terrifying type of situation, yeah, this would be a good show to catch. It's only 10 episodes. I highly recommend it. So definitely went out on a high note as far as I'm concerned. Let's see here. Next on the list then we have Killjoys, Season 2, Episode 7, Heart-Shaped Box. The team are tested to the core as tensions rise when Dutch interrogates a lethal level 6 agent. He captured and Johnny secretly investigates Jelko's wall for Potter.
Potter,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. This one coming in at an average of 8.83. And yeah, this was easily one of my favorite episodes of the season. It seemed like, once again, much like Mr. Robot, things are really coming into focus.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the whole certainly the after that shock ending, which we mentioned but didn't really talk about the previous episode, Sabine's apparent demise, but then the revelation that yes, all that green stuff is coming out of her because she is in fact one of those level six people, and the whole interrogation scenario that was then set up, and certainly Davin's conflicted loyalties throughout all that I thought was bringing things nicely to a head with what they've been setting up there, and certainly something that even just the way they were presenting it in the previous episode of, you know, oh yes, okay, you know, yes, it's one of those Michelle Loretta shows where, you know, yes, people get to have nice nice fun times from time to time, except of course, it all goes horribly wrong. but I thought that they were doing a nice job on that end, and then at the same time, I mean, the loyalties being tested on the other side with Johnny sort of going rogue and off on these missions, with Potter, and it is leading into the rest of the story, and the machinations going on. I just feel like they've done a nice job of both continuing to establish the team at the same time of establishing these conflicts between them, where they're not going to get ripped apart, but you can certainly see where the seams are showing.
Definitely. It's hard not to see them at this point. Yeah. but lots of decisions made by characters here that are very self-involved, I guess you could say, or self-interested, which is right around the right time. I know that there's only 10 episodes this season, so it's we're seeing that turn towards the resolution portion of the season arc. So now would be a good time for those conflicts to start to really emerge. But once again, it looks like despite Gary being a big fan of Dark Matter, he gave Killjoys the higher score this week.
Mm-hmm. He is coming around slowly but surely.
He is. I'm sure that all those scenes with Dutch don't hurt.
Yes.
All right. Next on the list is The Last Ship, Season 3, Episode 9, Paradise. Chandler unearths a lead that could resolve menacing questions. Meanwhile, Kara snoops in the White House. This one also coming in at an average of 8.83. And wow, yeah, talk about another season coming together really well here at the end.
Yes.
It really does, at least in my mind, it's starting to smooth over some of those earlier parts of the season that seemed like they were just not working.
Mm-hmm.
And now they make a lot more sense in context. And it's not necessarily fixing the problem so much as explaining why they did things the way they did. And I can accept it. I think it makes sense. I liked the reveal in this episode a lot. But I'll go ahead and let you weigh in as well.
Yeah, well, certainly this uh, the 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 whole way they were kind of setting up a betrayal on both sides of the Pacific. Certainly the ships being led into what turns out to be this trap, and the fact that sometimes the enemy of your enemy isn't necessarily your friend, but he might still be your enemy anyway. and at least that was certainly the implication that was being strongly put forward there. And then at the same time having this virtual behind the scenes coup d'etat going on back in St. Louis. Certainly on both the military elements and the sort of social and political elements of the difficulties of installing a new president and having it all run the way it's supposed to. I thought that it did a pretty intriguing job of bringing both of those things to a head pretty much simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean, is just how integrated everything seems, which is pretty amazing when you get right down to it. Especially considering, as I said, that earlier in the season it felt like things were just kind of happening. It was probably easy to dismiss and overlook all that stuff happening back at the Capitol. and they did give enough hints, I think, that something was going wrong there.
Yes.
I think maybe the only thing that could have made this better in terms of a reveal is if they had given a lot more context to the state of the nation up to this point, because then it might have been a little more meaningful when she started going off about the factions and such. That's all been background information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen a lot of that. So it was a lot of telling, not showing.
Yes, definitely.
Which is really the only complaint I have about it. But like I said, in terms of a twist here at the end of the season, that was a pretty good one. And we know that the show is coming back. So we know that it's going to be explored in some detail, just what happened. On a completely different side, boy, was it interesting watching this episode while actually in China.
I'm sure.
It didn't occur to me until I was about, an act or two in, and I'm sitting there going, let's turn the volume down. Just in case those microphones are really in the ceiling. but yeah, it definitely was. It made me think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. It added a little bit extra tension to the episode. But even so, I really enjoyed it. And incidentally, Gary gave this one a 9.5.
Yes.
So he definitely loved this episode. It was his favorite of the week. So really hope that we get him for the finale next time. And that means that we can round out the episodic discussion with the last entry here, Stranger Things, Episode 1, or Season 1, Episode 5, The Flea and the Acrobat. Hopper breaks into the lab, and Nancy and John face the entity that took Will. Also, the boys ask Mr. Clark about traveling to a different dimension. Yes, so there's definitely some advancement in the story, to say the least. Definitely like the fact that the characters are realistically dealing with these situations that they're in. They're not just kind of taking it in stride as these crazy things are happening. They are literally losing it. And it makes it a lot more compelling to watch because they're having just very understandable reactions to losing people, to seeing strange things that should not be happening. All of that makes a lot of sense and is one of the things that I like about this show. It's not simply about weird things going on in the 1980s. It's weird things happening and people reacting to them in psychologically understandable ways. So you really get into the mindset of the characters, which is a pretty good place to be. As an audience member, not necessarily as the characters themselves, but certainly it makes it more compelling, as I said. And to be fair, I mean, the difference between this episode and everything else that we talked about, a half point.
Yes.
So another week where it was really, with the exception of Dark Matter, it was really a tight week as far as the material was concerned. So,
yeah,
oh,
and well, no, this is completely unrelated since I've not been keeping up with Stranger Things. However, this episode title has now led me to discover that yes, apparently for fans of like myself of the Cinemax series, The Nick, we cannot see the term "the flea" in a title without thinking of certain hospital administrators, mistresses, and their habits.
Oh, well.
Yes.
That suggests some things.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when you're combining the flea and the acrobat.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a little diversion called the little flea, which those who watch the next first season will probably know exactly what I'm referring to.
Yeah, I'm not really going to get into that one.
Probably shouldn't, no.
When talking about an 80s-themed show with teenagers and younger children.
Yes.
So. That's creepy enough as it is. I'll just say this. It was a couple of good weeks as far as the episodes that we did get. Nothing was below average. Everything was really actually pretty solid. And any shows that did need a little bit of criticism, really, it's, guys, you're doing well with what you've got. These are the ways you could do better.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm not upset that both Killjoys and Dark Matter at this point have a third season coming. So... let's see here. That's it for the episodic discussion, but how much time do we have in this episode already?
We have about 20 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to briefly just discuss, because I did already kind of allude to it, but some of the fun that I've had recently, mm-hmm. which was the business trip to China. I know that you kind of alluded to it in the opening, and certainly it made sense in terms of the last ship.
Yes.
But also,
not to mention Mr. Robot. But.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Indeed. I didn't miss that either. But yes. to be honest, I watched those on the plane, so I did manage to not go down that road while in China.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, it was very interesting being on the other side of the world. For one thing. One of the big things I was kind of concerned about and why we did what we did, and it actually turned out probably didn't need to do it that way, was that, you know, we all hear that in China you can't get access to things.
Right. Yeah.
And lo and behold, with one exception, I was able to pretty much get everything that I normally would.
Hmm.
Facebook, no problem.
Right.
Messenger, certainly no problem. I was able to text, iMessage and so forth, no problem. I heard a big thump. Did you
No.
Pass out from shock or something? Okay. Probably cat related.
Might have been, yes.
Beyond that, like Instagram, no problem. And I'm not now at first I thought that it was because the hotel I was in was routing through Hong Kong.
Right.
Which would make sense because I was like, oh, okay, if that's the server going through, then yeah, it does make perfect sense that would be why I would be getting around any type of firewalls or anything. But then during the week, I was actually on data roaming, and I was on the Chinese carrier, and I was still able to get through. So unless that was routing through Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think so, in the middle of nowhere where I was sometimes, no, I guess that I mean this is one of those things where you do hear that it's sporadic. But I was even reading the fine print in the when I was on the plane for the in-flight Wi-Fi, where they were saying when you're over Chinese and Russian airspace, you're probably not going to have signal and be able to get to things because of restrictions. And yet not once did I drop.
Huh.
So I was like, really? You even have the flight attendants giving the little lecture about the fact that you can get the Wi-Fi, but you're probably not going to get it for the first several hours of your journey. And literally 5 minutes later, it pops up as available. So either I was entertaining the government of China quite a bit, or it's kind of oversaid or overstated. I don't doubt that there are times when they do lock things down. Certainly if there are certain matters of unrest, perhaps they might do something just to ensure that nothing goes out that they don't want out. But things were calm when I was there, therefore I wasn't having any problem. The only place I couldn't go, and I'm sure that it's because of how kind of deep it goes, Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure because of the ubiquitousness of some pretty racy material straight out porn,
yeah.
On Tumblr. I'm sure that's why that was blocked. But otherwise, I mean, nothing was blocked at all. I was pretty much able to do whatever I would normally do here. I was able to do there. So the only real concern is that, very oddly, I'm sure that I could have, resolved it if I went to the front desk and really pushed for it, but, the internet speed was a little bit slow. But I could have gotten a package if I wanted to pay for it that would have had higher speeds that would have been similar to what I have here.
Mm-hmm.
So had we tried to record while I was in China, we actually could have done it. I would have felt like Bronze Thumb.
Yes.
Recording in the middle of the day. But yeah, that was a real surprise to me, just the fact that I was able to get into everything. And so because of that, right or wrong, or for better or worse, whatever you want to call it, I was able to get all of the episodes to watch while I was away, and was pretty much up to speed in, you know, maybe a day or two later. Yeah, I was able to get into my remote server here at home. So I was literally across the world and able to get everything that I needed from my computer over here. So
yes, and
yeah,
and
I was even. I will say I did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, and the irony of all that is, I just hopped a little bit up the eastern sea, you know, the eastern seaboard, just to visit my mother for her birthday, and I lost contact with my computers at home due to a router turning itself off, which again may or may not have been feline related.
Isn't it often feline related? I'm staring right now over my computer at the one curled up in a ball by my feet. So
yes.
Yeah,
yes,
they have a tendency to play. I will say this much. I didn't try to get onto Netflix or Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
The speeds just would have never allowed for it.
Oh, sure, sure.
And frankly, I mean, it definitely would not have. They now detect VPNs, so I'm almost certain that I wouldn't have been able to do anything with them anyway. But that much said, I mean, it was not, at least as far as that's concerned, it was not nearly as bad as what I was anticipating. Which is nice. Kind of takes away a little bit of the concern that I had. I mean, ultimately, would I have been able to get into everything that I wanted to anyway? Because I was able to log in remotely to my computer here. Yeah, I mean, unless they had literally shut down all remote access services, I mean, all of them, then yeah, then I would have had access to things based on this computer here. But no, there was no issue about that at all. I had more problems getting a Wi-Fi signal at the job site I was on, just because it was weirdly like not that the signal was really weak in the office conference room that I was in, rather, to the point where at the end of the day, I was actually not able to do a lot because my computer just wouldn't connect because of our location. But oddly enough, like I said, I was able to do a lot of things, at least social media wise, over the carrier on my phone, sitting in a room there I couldn't get a Wi-Fi connection. So I was never really out of contact very long, which was nice, especially that being the first time I've been that far. The real interesting one was more just the culture shock a little bit, as I'm sure you can imagine. Even though I was told that, yeah, you know, there are quite a few people over there who know English. Yeah, they know of English.
Mm.
They know it exists. It is the biggest city in China, but that doesn't really mean very much. The further you get from the center.
Yes.
There were people who could, but it was often broken English. It was just main phrases, as you could imagine. And so it became very difficult if there was anything beyond the most rudimentary of interactions to get anything across or to understand what they were trying to say even. And yeah, I mean, there were other, basically, you know, your access to funds, money, is a lot more restricted. I probably should have known that, but I didn't, which made things rather interesting when I discovered that. But yeah, that was my first time in, oh, wow, here we go again, nearly 30 years that I was out of the U.S. or Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's go to China. Like, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
But it's likely that I will need to go more than just the once. So I am kind of just throwing it out there that, yeah, if that does happen, the likelihood is that I would not necessarily be impacted in terms of recording the show.
That's amazing.
If I played my cards right. Yeah. Just the sheer amount of, as I was talking to people, because I was talking with a couple people and just constantly because they're usually asleep, and hey, they weren't asleep. But just the fact that, yeah, it was in real time. I know that we, you know, obviously we were recording with Bronze Thumb. He's in Australia. That's pretty much, you know, one or two time zones, you know, difference from where I was.
Exactly.
It shouldn't have been that much of a shock to me. But still, after a while, it was amazing to me that it's like I'm having hours worth of conversation in real time with somebody on literally the other side of the planet. And yet, as you were saying, Edmund, there are times when it takes 15 minutes for my text to go to someone across town. So I don't get it. It was an interesting trip to say the least, but I am very glad to be back. Kind of surprised that I am still going here, but we are going to record another episode this evening. We've got some feedback that we have, and then who knows what other discussions we'll get into since it was a couple weeks that we were off. So, Edmund, any questions about my adventures?
Other than I was going to ask if you were successful in your quest without getting into any company secrets. But if they're having you back, I guess that could mean one way or the other. But
well, I was successful in my main quest, but then other side quests popped up on the map as they often do.
Ah, okay.
And so it may be that there are follow-up quests or additional side quests that they were quite eager to have my help with in the future. So whether or not that happens, we shall see. But I'm kind of hoping not anytime just yet, because as everybody who is listening knows, by the time that this goes out, pretty much leaving to go on a vacation. So oddly enough, being in China, I probably could have recorded where I'm going on vacation. Nope. So we will be off after this week, but we will have episodes though. No worries. We are kind of adjusting our schedule to make sure that it happens. But yeah, I'm going to be away for a couple weeks. As everyone knows, we're going to be in Dragon Con, at least Gary and I, for the duration. And then we'll see if you can join us. But then right after that, I have another work thing immediately. As I've alluded to before. So, yeah, it's going to be I really don't want to go to China right after all that. I actually would like to be stable for more than a few days.
Would be nice, yes.
Yes, I'm starting to feel like Elliot after a while. But yes, we shall see. We shall see. It'll probably be a few months from now if it happens.
Okay.
Yes, but yeah, it seemed to be pretty successful. They were pretty happy with what I was able to help them with, which was nice. It's always good to go through something like that and actually get to the end point rather than feel like I just spent a week in China and did not get anywhere. No, I managed to do what I wanted to do.
Yes. Yeah. 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 You don't want to be stuck there and feel like you're still on the slow boat. So.
Yeah. All right. So we will wrap this particular episode up when we come back. Like I said, we've got some listener feedback that we'll dig into, and then we'll probably do some open topics. So until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as Fair Use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates, but let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.